Did Christine Dente mandate that Scott Dente's personal assistant was a man, is what I'm going for. Mm. Was he allowed to have a hot young female assistant?
I don't know.
These are the questions.
Danny already has a hot young female assistant, and her name is Casey Haas.
Thank you for providing the bumper clip right off the bat today. We'll see if you can top that.
Right, it's Easter week, and here we are doing the most holy and spiritual thing possible, which is recording Fun Sexy Bible Time.
Yes.
The number one Christian podcast among all Christian podcasts. And I have come with hardly anything today, but one thing I wrote down to talk about, and I know we've talked about this before because I had like a moral conundrum about should I be tipping the Walmart grocery carryout people, you know? And somehow Danny and I got on the topic of tipping. And it's like a thing now where every person who does anything for you in a business expects a tip. Like, it's on every single register, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering your thoughts on this. Because Danny... If Danny is presented an option to tip, he will tip every single time. 20%. He'll click the button. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we go to this, like, that we went to a bakery and we got like 6 cookies and we were in there for 60 seconds and it was like, you know, turn the register around, tip 20%. And his idea is like, who cares? It's like, it's nothing. Usually it's nothing. It's not like we're talking about a $100 tip. Like, we gave the person 80 cents or something. I don't know. But he, like, it's not a question for him. He never like stops to think, does this person deserve a tip for what they just did? It's just like, if he's given the option, he just does it. And I'm more of the one who's like, excuse me, why do you think that you should get a tip for putting 6 cookies in a bag for me?
Yeah.
So I'm the stingier of the two of us, obviously. How about you?
I've got a lot of thoughts about this. I didn't know you were bringing this to the table today, but.
Oh, okay.
I hate the prompt screen. Like, when you pay with a card, when it asks you for a tip.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, I'll be honest, like, I've paid cash sometimes knowing that the prompt screen is coming, because I don't like the conundrum that it puts me in, because I don't like hitting no tip and then pushing the screen back to the person.
Yeah,
I know if you pay cash, you don't obviously get that prompt. I do feel like there's a line of, you know, this is just a simple transaction. We don't need to bring a tip into this.
Yeah.
My question, though, is like, I can't really get annoyed at the establishment, because I don't know if it's their choice to have that screen pop up.
Like, oh, it definitely is.
Is that a credit card thing? Like, do they?
No. They definitely set that up.
Yeah, because it's pretty uniform. Like, they all look the same.
Well, I know, but Danny uses those platforms. Like, he uses Square when he does conventions, and there's no place. I mean, he doesn't have a tip option.
Okay.
So he makes the sale and that's it. So, but maybe he should add it. now that we're talking, be like, select a tip, 10% feed one of my kids, 15% feed two of my kids. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
It does feel a little manipulative. when it's just like a bakery, like you said.
Yeah. Because
I see it sometimes, like if I go in and get like, you know, a couple donuts for breakfast mm-hmm. when I'm at work.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, this is just like two donuts. Like why? I mean, I'm like, uh-huh. it's not just two donuts. I eat more than that, but.
Three donuts.
Yeah. It's like, why do we need a tip here? Like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that I've seen this conversation on Twitter, and Seth, listener, I haven't really interacted with him a lot on Twitter recently, but he talked about, I think he had a second job, and one of the things he did was like, you know, bag up to-go orders for people at restaurants, and there's an option to tip for that, and he said it's like, yes, please tip, because they're getting paid, you know, well, I guess what the servers are getting paid or something like that. So when you go to a restaurant and you get a to-go order, you're like, well, why should I tip? Like, I just picked it up. But I guess you're tipping the person who's like doing the work to put it together for you instead of a server to bring it to the table.
Mm-hmm. Kendra would agree with that wholeheartedly. She she worked as a server for, geez, forever.
Yeah.
So she's all over that.
Yeah.
She's always yelling at me for not leaving enough.
More money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't, and this is one of those things where it doesn't matter how much I leave. Like I say, I left $100 and she would go like scoop out quarters out of her purse and it's like, and leaving them in, yeah. like, in little stacks on top of the bills. And it's like, babe, they don't yeah. want your quarters. You were a server. You did not like it when people left you change.
Yeah, and
I know, I know.
Servers at restaurants, that's not a question for me at all. Like we are definitely not those people who, if the service is bad or slow, it affects our tip. We're just not those people. But the other things were like every single establishment. Man, it gets tough. So I was just, yeah. Just let Danny do it. Just let him do it. And
I'm starting to see it on Twitter too. And I gotta be, there's a cardinal. Looks like it's trying to come through the window.
Oh, it knows I'm here. It wants to say hi to me.
Whereas a male cardinal,
he's fighting with his reflection, probably.
Yeah, maybe so. I gotta be careful because, you know, the listeners of this podcast have been really generous in helping us pay the hosting fees over the years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do paid content on Substack, so I gotta be careful that I'm not coming off as condescending, but you do, because I'm grateful for all of those people and what they've
right.
done. But,
right.
You do see it a little bit like in Twitter starting to creep in of somebody will do a tweet and then like right underneath it will thread down a reply of, if you like this tweet, buy me a cup of coffee. Like, here's my Venmo or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Cash yeah.
app. And it's like, you just did a tweet. Like, that took 20 seconds. Is the like button not enough? Like,
no, it's not. The like button doesn't pay my bills, Matthew.
Yes, that's blame it on capitalism or Bidenomics, whatever your preference is.
Yeah, it is an American thing too. Like, you know, a lot of other countries, there's no you don't tip. I mean, you tip like in hotels, like bellhops, I guess, but in restaurants and, you know, other places, people are just paid. So.
Mm-hmm. Somebody had a tweet. I don't remember who it was, but I think it was Alan Noble retweeted it that, you know, horrible thing when the bridge collapsed yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
The tweet was, when something happens, there are two responses, and it was like screen caps of the exact same photo of like the bridge collapsed. And like one person said, this is capitalism's fault. And the other person mm-hmm. said, this is DEI's fault.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's like, you know, maybe just God. Horrible accidents happen sometimes.
Yes, they do. They do. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Time to log off.
You cannot. You cannot log off because, Mrs. Haas, we have FSBT update.
FSBT update. Okay, I'm first. You wrote all of these. Everything from here on out is Matthew's content.
Wait a minute. You know how this goes. This is, we don't write these jokes. These are provided to us by, you know, send these in.
Yeah, the Methodist interns wrote all of these jokes.
I got it.
Okay. Former President Donald Trump has been criticized for appearing in advertisements pitching the, quote, I Love America Bible, on sale for $60, which is not to be confused with the Casey Haas Bible, which is just that one part where Potiphar's wife rips Joseph's clothes off. Also, it's got some bread recipes in there. Yes, we got some bread in the Bible. Do you remember, were you allowed to watch, or did you watch that TV miniseries or two-night special about Joseph, and it had
Ben Kingsley. Yes, I did.
It was spicy.
I did not know you were bringing this up. The two things that I remember from that,
two things I remember.
Actually, there were three things. The one thing, okay, like where Joseph was in the pool or the bath, and like he turned around, through the water, you could like kind of see like the outline of his butt, and I was like, "Whoa,
yeah,
there we go." Second thing I remember was Joseph was like out like working in the yard or something, and Potiphar's wife was like sitting in the windowsill watching. And I remember like she was clothed, like she was like very seductively like rubbing her chest of like just watching Joseph of like, oh that man.
Yeah.
I think there was another part where it was I think it was Pharaoh's daughter was like in a bath or something, and like she got up out of the bath and like the servants like wrapped a towel around her, but like you could almost see something.
Oh,
those are the three things just from 30 years ago that I just pulled out of.
Oh, I know. Brain. I want to rewatch it because it's probably like the most tame thing we could see. But you know, when you're, what year did it come out? I'm going to look it up. I actually looked it up recently. I feel like shows. 1995. So I was 11, 12, depending on when it came out. You were 14, 15. Yeah. We were. I mean, look at this guy. What a hottie.
Who played Joseph?
Let's see. Paul Mercurio.
Why do I know who that is?
I don't know. Hold on. Give me a sec. He was an iRobot? I don't know. He doesn't really have anything recent. Yeah. Anyways. Okay. We should move on.
I thought it was... Or can we? Can we even move on from this? I thought it was interesting that in that adaptation that Potiphar believes Joseph.
Mm.
Like, he believes that Joseph was innocent. But yes. He was like...
My hands are tied.
Yeah, he was like, listen, I can't, you know, because of who I am, I can't call my wife a liar. Like, you've got to give me something.
Right.
Like, you know, maybe your passions just got the best of you. And Joseph's like, no, I'm not admitting to anything.
And yes.
Potiphar's like, I have to send you away. Like, I can't. He's like, I know you didn't do anything, but I got to send you away. I thought that was an interesting take.
I would absolutely love for just all of these Old Testament stories to be made into full feature length films, like really well done, gritty, like show me the good stuff. not Lot's and his daughters though. We've had enough of that for the rest of our lives. after last week or 2 weeks
amazing.
Ago.
That was amazing. I will say my siblings and I, there was the part where Joseph got thrown into the pit and sold into slavery. Mm-hmm. And there's like a Tom Hanks and Wilson segment where he's just in the pit screaming over and over again, brothers, just over and over. And like my siblings and I, like for a long time after that, when we greet each other, we just go, brothers. As a callback to the Joseph movie from 1995.
Nice. Wow. The power of TV.
The power of TV. Okay. Should we keep going?
Yes.
All right. Okay. A wild story, Casey. Coming from the state of California, believe it or not.
Oh, I believe it.
A man has been, and by the way, all of these are true. All of these are true stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Especially the part about the Casey Haas Bible.
A man has been arrested for taking a human leg from the scene of a train accident and eating it.
Mm.
And you know, Casey, this is sad. Because when that man gets married and he and his wife eat each other's legs, it's like she'll be eating all the other strange legs that he's eaten through the years.
Stupid. It won't be a special it when won't he be eats a special. His wife's legs. Oh, man. Gross. That's very, what an interesting, what do you think happened there?
Well,
like,
he wasn't.
Genuinely hungry?
He wasn't.
Or like, I've always wanted to try this, and well, here's a leg.
Well, and he wasn't sharing either. You know, he's just walking down the street, keeping that leg all to himself.
Yeah.
Horrible.
That's just, ugh. Okay. Houston man Orlando Coleman has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for traveling the country, posing as a biblical scholar and marrying three different women in three different states. Coleman was convicted of practicing Hillsong without a license. That's
so stupid. All right, Casey. A 63-year-old Methodist pastor in Connecticut has been arrested for running a crystal meth enterprise out of his church, where he would provide drugs to gay men in exchange for getting to watch the men perform sex acts with each other.
Wow.
Authorities became
I didn't know that part of the story. Gosh.
Yeah. Putting the meth in Methodist. That's not the...
Yeah, I heard that joke. I never read this story. No,
we're rising below that punchline. So he ran crystal meth out of the church, would provide drugs to gay men in exchange for letting him watch them perform sex acts on each other. Authorities became suspicious when they noticed cars going into a Methodist church parking lot. That's mean. I like Methodists. I don't know why somebody would.
That's a good one. I can't believe the interns would write that about their own denomination.
Golly. Well, speaking of punching on your side of the street, I guess. I don't know. I mixed up two metaphors there. The Babylon Bee, Casey's go-to source for all things, has been...
My news is where I get my news.
Babylon Bee has been criticized for being too woke after running a joke about white supremacists.
Okay.
It's the kind of story that you just have to find the humor in. And if you find the humor, the Babylon Bee would like to know if they could use some of it. That also is mean. Mean jokes.
And true.
Mean coming from
us. Is this a real? Somebody really acute? Who was it? Brian Suave?
No, this is like, no, they did a joke like with the punchline about like white nationalism or something. And you just go to the comments and it's just dozens and dozens and dozens of accounts, like, roasting them for being too woke.
Farewell, Babylon Bee. Is that what they said?
And then, like, the, I gotta give it to the main guy. He did something mildly amusing. He was, I guess he's, Seth Dillon is Jewish, or, I guess, and he got on his personal account and was like, well, as long as everybody's mad at me, I'm gonna go ahead and say this. I think intermarriage is great and should be mandatory, and we should all intermarry until we're the same shade of brown.
Oh my god!
But you know, fair play. I'll give it to him. That was kind of amusing.
Oh my! The Babylon Bee. I was gonna say something about. Oh, I brought up Brian Suave, or however you say his name. How do you say it? S-A-U-V-E? Sauve?
I don't know.
Save? I sent, you never responded. I sent you that tweet that his wife wrote that was like, if you're just, I'm just going to read it. This is a sidebar.
I thought I did respond to that.
Right. This is, it's okay. Maybe you did. Hold on. No, you didn't. If you're just learning to communicate respectfully to your husband, it's a good practice to write things down and rehearse several times exact things you want to say so you don't freak out and cry or start a needless fight. I want to quote it and be like, a truly submissive wife would first ask her husband if he wants her to do these insane things just to talk to him. Lexi.
Everybody's an expert.
Everybody is an expert. Except me. I am definitely not. I don't know if you saw my tweet. I have a child who spent 48 hours on TikTok.
I did see that. Last week.
We were sitting in my bed on Sunday night playing a card game, and they were, it was the end of spring break, and she's like, let me see, and she had like picked up her phone and was on TikTok. I'm like, get off of TikTok, and then we just, it went from there, and I was like, oh, okay, 48 hours in a week. That's just, I don't, anyways, okay. But then the next day, she sent me a screenshot from school with her report card. I'm like, okay, can't win them all.
Maybe you should
have. This is why I'm just like amazed at these parents with 5-year-olds who are like logging on to tell people how to be parents. Like, can you stop?
Well, maybe you should have written down all your points about TikTok and rehearsed them before you went to her and said anything.
I am. I'm gonna do that. I'm going to write it all down and rehearse it. Okay. I think it's my turn.
Yeah, that's the last one.
All right. Mega church pastor T.D. Jakes is facing increased scrutiny for his connections to embattled hip-hop mogul Sean Combs, who is under investigation for sex trafficking and assault allegations. Jakes attracted the attention of authorities when his popular Women Thou Art Loosed conference was rebranded to the Bitch Better Have My Money conference. Woman, not women. Sorry. Woman Thou Art Loosed. Is that real?
The Woman Thou Art Loosed?
Yeah.
That's real. And he was named in a lawsuit.
No, I knew the lawsuit thing. I'm the conference name is.
Yeah, that was like his book, and then I don't know if he still does it, but for a while he was doing the conference Woman Thou Art Loosed.
Okay.
Whew. So I think that was like one of my first inappropriate tweets way back in the day. I did something and like the punchline was Woman Thou Art Goosed. So like I was gonna have an intimacy conference called Woman Now Are Goosed or something. I don't know. Back when I had 100 followers.
Okay, are we doing a Substack?
Yeah, let's go to Substack.
Okay. So, you... oh, that's why I didn't see the other one. So, you, like, named me as a co-author of your summer swimsuit guide for Christian women a couple years ago. Because I actually had some good jokes that day. My favorite being Honda Odyssey slut.
Legendary.
That was my favorite joke.
Legendary.
So, I got an email like last week or the week before. It's like somebody has commented on your Substack post, and so someone has found your Substack that is struggling. So Juno 70, who definitely does not listen to this podcast, he asked the question right away. Are all of these articles a joke and I don't get it? 3 question marks. A man is 100% responsible before God for his own sinning. It is never some scantily dressed woman's fault. Are men capable of self-control or not? Are they able to have 1 beer but not have 10? Are they able to eat 4 barbecue ribs but not 30? Are they able to enjoy 3 cups of delicious coffee in the morning but not 3 gallons? 3 cups of coffee is a lot, Juno. You need to scale that back. We were created as sexual beings. Women's bodies were designed precisely in the manner God chose. Covered or uncovered, it is every man's responsibility to control himself and his desires, to choose to sin or to choose to be obedient to God. It has never been a woman's fault that a man should engage in sexual sin. This and other articles rings of the old ideas that any raped or sexually assaulted woman has no one to blame but herself for the attack against her. How dare you? I can't even read the rest. I can't read that line. I'm
the
sorry.
Part where I get like accused of like covering up for child rapists.
Yes, I can't. I can't do it. This is a fun family podcast. No, it's not. But yeah. Juno, did you read any of it? Like, are these articles a joke? Yes. Yes, they are. You said reading an article that tells Christian women to wear llamas while otherwise nude instead of swimsuits. Is this a joke? Okay. And then they commented on the ever famous... Oh, no, this is a different one. Should Christian women have breasts? Oh, they just quote you. Gaslighting is a form of privilege? Question mark. If your eye offends you, it's because there's wood in there? Question mark. Have you actually read the scriptures? Yeah, dumbass. You have to read it to make jokes about it. Jeez. This entire article is so far off and is absurd. That's the point. Can you please? Oh, and then they quote Jesus to you. There is nothing about in the Bible, there is nothing about wood equating to erections. Yeah. Okay. Are you familiar with the idea of slang?
I think Juno 70, I think that's the email address. I think they have a Juno email address from like 1997.
Okay. And here we go. Frog, somebody named Frog commented on your post, which video games are safe for Christians? They said, IDK, if dead or alive, Extreme Beach Volleyball is, quote, safe content for Christians. Thank you, Frog. And then the last one. This is so good, Mark. I can't find a button to get me off your list, so take me off your list. I don't play video games, and I do not care if they are, quote, safe for Christians. And you replied, you did not say please. Did you take him off?
I can't remember. I think I just left him.
It's so good.
Oh. I mean, every email you get, there's a, look, every post I put out, about 20 people find the unsubscribe button, so it's...
Yeah.
Mark, it shouldn't be that hard.
That's yeah. That's what she said. I know it's there, Mark. Just look for it. That's also what she said.
Sometimes it is hard to find the right button, Mark. Sorry.
Okay, we'll stop. All right.
In classic FSBT fashion, we went one joke too far.
It's almost Easter. Yeah. We're ready to celebrate and party.
All right. So, are we ready to move on to Shoot the Shoot?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Just four extremely random topics.
Oh, okay.
Don't have a ton to say about any of them. There's just absolutely no connection to any of these.
Okay.
You mentioned Easter, so I'll lead with that one.
Okay.
This is a revival of a point I made before, but I'd just like to go back on the record and affirm my position that Easter is the worst food holiday out of all of the holidays. I've had time to ponder it. And listen, we just came off of St. Patrick's Day, and my mother, if she listened to this, would be horrified for a great many things, but would also be horrified of what I'm about to say, which is that how bad do you have to have the food in your holiday for it to somehow be worse than the food for St. Patrick's Day?
Do you eat special food for St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, my mom is big into that because she has Irish lineage.
Oh,
so like every
okay. Saint so Patrick's what do you Day. Eat?
Well, okay, so St. Patrick's Day, typical fare is corned beef,
right?
Cabbage,
which is good, right? Corned beef is good.
Kind of, but it's just like each thing in Irish food is good, but when you put it all together, it's just kind of a lot. So
okay, like corned beef, cabbage.
Corned beef, cabbage. You've got the horseradish sauce that you put on the corned beef to dip it in. You've got the boiled potatoes. You've got the sausage.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a lot. And then you've got key lime pie for dessert, which is not everybody's cup of tea.
Do you like key lime pie?
Yeah, I like lime, but like I'm the only person in my family who eats it.
I have never thought of key lime pie as being Irish. I think of it as being Floridian.
I think it's, I don't know, maybe that's just my family, but like
maybe because of the green.
Yeah,
you like know, if you zest the lime on top, then you have a green pie.
And my family would always put the green food coloring in the key lime pie, and that would be like our Irish dessert. This year my mom made shepherd's pie, which actually was really good. Irish food is just kind of a lot. Like it's the kind of food, it's kind of like German food in the sense that don't plan on doing anything right after you eat. You just need to just, it's not light. It's heavy. It sits with you.
Yeah, I hear you.
But yeah, I mean, I would honestly take St. Patrick's Day food over Easter food. It's just...
Okay, what do you not like about Easter food?
It's the eggs and the ham and the potato salad.
Eggs, like what kind of eggs? Like deviled eggs?
Yeah, like all kinds of eggs. Like it's just eggs everywhere.
Oh, because of dying Easter eggs?
Yeah, but the, you know, deviled eggs too, and
potato salad.
Ham.
You don't like ham?
I mean, it's fine. It's just like all that stuff together. And then like what's the go-to? Like on Easter, like what's the good food on Easter?
Yeah, I hear you. I don't feel like my family really follows food rules about holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're gonna go to lunch at my parents, and my mom asked if there was anything I wanted, like specific. I didn't have anything, but I'm gonna do the potatoes. I'm gonna do like funeral potatoes. You know, like the, you know what that is like. The like hash brown potatoes with all the cheese and the sour cream and then the topping. So yummy. But I'm sure she'll do a ham, maybe a honey baked ham if she's feeling generous. You can't go wrong with a honey baked ham.
Well,
this is like honey baked ham Super Bowl week.
Yeah. Kendra's pretty cool. She'll make macaroni and cheese for every holiday. So.
Yeah, yeah. So if you can get mac and cheese in there, maybe I'll do that too. I did that baked mac and cheese. I think I talked about it the last episode. I need to do that again. I've thought about it several times. You know what I've been making?
What's that?
Since we're talking food. I don't know if any of your other Shoot the Shoots are about food. I've been making scones. Do you like scones?
Yes, I haven't had one in a long time.
First I made lemon blueberry because that's the recipe I saw on Instagram by like my most favorite mm-hmm. food person on Instagram. I don't follow really any food people except this person. And then I was like, oh, this was very easy. And now I have like the base recipe. So then I've made a couple batches of savory scones with like bacon and cheddar wow. and chives.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Even my kids ate those. Even though there was green things in them. George came home from school on Monday. He's like, did you make any more scones?
Wow.
Like, no, George. I did not make any more scones today. But they're actually, like, I always thought they were difficult. So I've never attempted them. And then, like, oh, these aren't difficult. Just put it together and make them.
I used to get the cranberry orange scones from Publix. Like, if I would ever go into Publix, just grab one.
I need to do that too. Cranberry orange is a great flavor combo. I need to do that. Anyways, it's been fun. I had some like poblano peppers. So I did like a poblano and cheddar one. It's fun. We know I love to be in the kitchen as the trad wife that I am.
Perfect segue into our next Shoot the Shoot.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
This is an extremely random gripe. My gripe is watching sports and female play-by-play announcers. This is my gripe with them. Not the sense that they're female, but a lot of the female play-by-play announcers, it's like they're doing an imitation of a male play-by-play announcer.
Interesting.
There's a specific cadence, and the thing I will compare it to is like if you've ever watched like a young pastor or like a student minister try to give a sermon, and they get up there and like they just start mimicking the cadence of other pastors, and it's like
I talked about this when we had that clip of Joel Osteen's son.
Yes,
preaching.
Same. Exactly.
I'm like he's just putting on an act. Like it's this is I've seen this 1,000 times.
Yeah and it's like it's interesting. It's jarring because like with Osteen's kid, it's like, okay, you're like 21, like you, this is not organic.
Right,
you're a parrot. Right, you're just a parrot.
Right,
now.
Right.
So some of the like female play-by-play announcers, it's like they've got this crazy radio DJ cadence to their voice. And oh, what a play. Look at there. And it's like it's jarring because it's like that doesn't fit. So,
you know what would be so fun if I could pull it off? With just like 5 minutes of a football game. Just do a voiceover for you.
I was going there.
Be like, all right. There's that guy. He just ran a little bit. They didn't get very far. What are they doing? Why can't they get farther than this? He should have thrown that. What down are we on?
So my question is, not to run the women out of the announcer's booth, but just a simple question. Why can't we just occasionally have a female announcer who sounds like a trad wife?
I don't even know what that means. Sounds like a trad wife.
I need you to figure that out, and I need you to.
Oh, actually, I do, because it's a thing. Because they change their voice, right? It's a whole thing, like Michelle Duggar, and they talk about how she does her little
baby talk.
This is our family circle time. and all of the kids have a buddy, and it's your job to take care of your buddy. Like, it's like a thing.
Can
and
you
even that that Republican lady who did from your state,
Katie Britt,
who did the and like her voice during that whole thing. Oh gosh. Yes, it's okay. So I see what you're saying. Okay. So you want like a you want the put on I am a submissive, childlike, yet sexually mature woman. That's the voice that we want announcing our football.
I just want to hear a trad wife call a few series of an Alabama football game. Is that too much to ask?
Probably. They're too busy. While their husbands are playing football, they're, you know, making the nachos and stuff. Whatever. Whatever you eat while you watch football. Pigs in a blanket.
I don't, you know, call me sexist if you will. I just, you know, it's just a simple question. Can I get a trad wife on the call once in a while?
Oh goodness!
But you know,
I have a joke. I have a joke for you at the end. I just thought of it. Remind me, Casey. It's time to wrap it up. Tell me your joke. It's not a joke. It's like a thing. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I mean, it's got to be hard for a female announcer because you don't have a lot to pull from as far as like, you know, what do I need my voice to sound like? So you,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. It's like
trying to sound like a man.
Okay. People have a certain expectation of what announcing sounds like. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So do I take a risk and do my own thing or do I just mimic what everyone's used to?
And it's really hard because a lot of like the announcers that people really like are the ones who break out of that mold, like the Kevin Harlans and the Gus Johnsons, the one,
yeah.
And like even Tony Romo, like Tony Romo doesn't sound like anybody, like when he's doing it, he's just, you know, the I don't know if you, how much of Tony Romo you're familiar with, but like his thing is like he just gets really excited as he's giving the commentary, and Jim,
yeah.
And he just kind of like speech jizzes on the air.
Okay.
So that's hard. I mean, that's got to be hard for the female announcers. So just go trad wife. Just
okay. I'm gonna work on that.
All right, seamless transition. I think it's interesting how children of famous people who have been assassinated believe in sort of trend towards conspiracy theories, and I.
This seems like an extremely niche group of people. Children of people who have been assassinated.
Yeah, like famous figures have been assassinated. Their children seem to like trend away from the given set of like, oh, this is who killed your father. Of like, no, they go the other way of like, no, there had to have been more at stake. Like there had to have been more people involved.
Okay, well, let's hear some examples.
RFK Jr. Met with Sirhan, who most people agree killed Bobby Kennedy, and you know, after meeting with him, came away convinced that there was a second gunman.
Bobby, the one who got shot in the hotel.
Yeah.
But okay, all right.
And there are conspiracy theories that, you know, just there is a school of thought that like there was more than one gunman and Sirhan was just the scapegoat. Most of Martin Luther King Jr.'s family has kind of come out and said that there was more that James Earl Ray either wasn't the shooter or wasn't acting alone, even though most people believe that he was acting alone as just a lone gunman. And I think like Malcolm X's family, like there's a big school of thought that like, you know, that wasn't just some random thing, that was the Nation of Islam, you know, conspiring to assassinate
Right.
Malcolm X on orders of Elijah Muhammad. I think that's just really interesting because, and it's not just like in an entertainment sense, but I do think there's like a psychological aspect to it of,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, the bigger you can make the plot, like the more meaning it gives to, you know, and I think there's in a way, like there's comfort in meaning of like, you know, oh, my father was so important. And so, you know, it couldn't have just been one lone wacko. You know, it would have taken something, some sprawling conspiracy with legs going everywhere that, that's what it took to take my father down. I do think there's, you know, in a weird way, like there's some comfort in that for people. I don't know, just a random.
I haven't thing. Really paid attention to, how about John Lennon's son? is he in this group?
I don't know,
like
too
there's
much.
Just not so many examples to pull from.
Yeah.
But I do agree, you know, when like even what you were saying earlier about the bridge collapse, it's like, you know, whose fault is it? Mm-hmm. If we can just like, you know, make it bigger than it is, it maybe helps us cope a little bit more, or sure. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a defense mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if you just admit that sometimes there's accidents and sometimes just horrible things happen and sometimes there are lone wackos out there that just do horrible things.
Yeah.
I think that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying. Yeah, I think the human brain is like sort of oriented towards looking for order in everything. And if you can say it's a conspiracy, then even though that's horrible, that's a form of order.
Right. Yes.
So just a, you know, light, uplifting topic.
Yeah, it's perfect. Perfect for this show.
Last thing I had was Sixpence None the Richer is coming out with new music this year.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah. It's Lee, of the original members, it's Lee, Matt Slocum, and the drummer Dale is back with them. So it's three of the original members are back. I think there's one of their longtime bass players is back, not the original one, but anyway, their new music coming out, and that's just got me thinking a lot about Sixpence None the Richer and just what a strange career arc they had.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before when we were going through the Wow CDs.
Yes. That was so fun.
It was fun just how like they started out as sort of these darlings of 90s alternative, and a lot of their like alternative early stuff really I mean, I still listen to a lot of that stuff. Like, it really holds up well. It doesn't have the cheese that some of the other you know, Christian bands doesn't have that same tinge. And then at a certain point they just realized they could make a lot of money doing cover songs.
Yes.
And they turned into a pop band.
Good for them. Get yours.
They got the bag.
They
went pop with Kiss Me, and then they did a couple big cover songs, and you know, they got on network TV on the late night circuit a few times, and did some tours, and got that bag.
They did. I mean, it's not Sandy Patty, but
No, Lee Nash's voice was, is such a distinctive voice. It was just like really, really breathy, I guess. Breathy.
Yeah. Yeah, and there really wasn't, I think it's been, you know, done since then, but I don't think there was a lot of that out there at the time.
No, I think, well, I mean, like, which version of them? Like, the first version?
No, like, her voice. Okay. Her voice is what I'm talking about specifically.
They turned into Christian Cranberries, basically.
Yeah.
But,
Christian Cranberries.
Yeah, the first version of the band when they were doing alternative stuff was... That was pretty original.
Was there a point besides they're coming out with new music?
No, it's okay. Just reflecting on, was there a point to this? Jeez.
I couldn't remember the beginning. We went off on some tangents. I didn't mean it like that.
Are you done? I got a leg to eat. No, I was just thinking about like how what a strange career arc they had, and I'm not gonna say sad. Like, I mean, it's kind of like Switchfoot. Like, I miss the old Switchfoot, but they kind of followed the money into their pop rock version of them, and
yeah, you know,
good for them, I guess.
I don't know. I feel like they've stayed pretty. I mean, I know they had some like crossover stuff, but. No, they're still not like huge.
Well, when they started, they kind of had like a sort of lo-fi garage. Mm.
I hear what you're saying.
Sound, and yeah. Then it just got really, really polished.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about Sixpence on the Richer of just like could this sound and could this type of music be played now like on Christian radio? Like, could if they came out now?
No.
I actually think they could.
The only thing that can be played on Christian radio now is worship music.
I see. I think they.
Or Lauren Daigle, or I mean, you sent me that one song by
Jeremy Camp.
Jeremy Camp, and that was more of a like. Older school CCM type song,
and then I sent it to you just because it was so rare. I was like, oh, man, this is like,
yeah,
this is different.
Yeah, no one's really doing this anymore.
Yeah, so I think Sixpence could probably make it now. There's enough, like, I don't know. I think they could make it now. I think a lot of the bands we grew up with really struggle to make it now. Like, you think about, like, I don't know. Audio Adrenaline, like if Audio Adrenaline came out now with Don't Censor Me, like
there'd
be no place for them.
Yeah.
The Newsboys come out with Shine right now, like there'd be no place for that either.
Imagine.
Supertones.
Oh. I need to see what's out there. You know, I don't know anything about what's current.
No, it's hard to find. It's hard to find like Christian anything past like the praise and worship is really hard to find.
Mm-hmm. I'll turn on our local station and see what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am curious what I think our local station still doesn't play Lauren Daigle, and I can't remember why. They play like Lauren Daigle covers only. I don't know if they've switched since then, but.
Hmm.
They're the worst.
Our
anyways,
our local Way FM affiliate for a while had a channel where it was just like just Christian rock and like new music, like alternative stuff.
Yes.
And I would stream that for a while just to see like what was out there. But then I think they stopped doing it. So that was my one window into what was going on.
I remember something like that.
It was like way next or something.
Something, yes, 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 yeah.
Need to see if I can find something like that.
All right, I'm gonna wrap us up.
Yeah, go for it.
With a riddle. It's a riddle.
Okay.
What do the following things have in common? Newlyweds, breastfeeding mothers, and lesbians. Oh, I just realized where you could take this. It's not that.
Okay.
It's not dirty.
That's what that long sigh was. I was like, am I being set up here?
It's not that.
Okay.
No. I'll just tell you.
Okay.
These are all things that Instagram seems to think that I am.
Nice.
And I don't know how it happened because I am not a newlywed or a breastfeeding mother or a lesbian.
Please.
And I just, when you...
Please tell me which kind of Instagram thirst traps are being sent to you, and I'll compare them to the ones that are being sent to me. We'll see if we have similar tastes.
I'm not getting it. It's not about sending. It's just like when you scroll your regular feed, you have suggested reels.
Yep.
And lately, those are the things. It's either those three things or like medical stuff. It's very fascinating.
Interesting.
And I'm trying to get to the part in my feed where there's reels. Okay. We have. Oh my gosh. I can't read that. Chelsea Handler advises women to never have anal with her ex-boyfriend 50 Cent. I fell pregnant naturally after IVF. Your man doesn't just want to, quote, get off. I'm getting like so many of these 14 looking year old married couples telling me how to have sex. Like, how is this happening? Anyways, Instagram reels. You're either frozen or completely distracted. No, are you looking for your suggested reels?
I pulled up the search page where it like just sends you.
Oh, the explore page. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just kind of hate myself. Oh man. Okay. I don't know. I'm gonna stop looking at that now.
Oh, it's like I clicked on the one that was like, your man doesn't want to just, quote, get off. And it's just 17 paragraphs about sex in marriage. At least she doesn't look 14. She looks like she's in her 30s. But why? I don't know, Matthew. I'm getting old and grumpy about basically all of social media. It's sad. Like, do we need marriage coaches on Instagram? No, we don't. We need people in our real life. Like, I'm sorry. No, we don't have to do this now.
It's fine.
Some other time.
No, I get the tension you have because deep down you know that like maybe some people can find some of this helpful, but at the same time, the fact that everybody thinks they're an expert is deeply, deeply annoying.
Oh my gosh. It's like, what is the criteria for becoming a marriage coach? Like, you just say, we've been married a while. We're happy. Let's be coaches.
Oh, you gotta be hot.
Let's coach people.
You gotta be hot because there's
you have to be attractive.
There's very little ugly marriage coaches.
That's true.
Which, you know, I mean, I would probably take advice from an ugly person first because it's like they still like me. I look like this and I'm still married.
Yeah, exactly.
With the hot young lady, it's like, yeah, he can just plug his ears and just look at you. Like, that's...
Well, Matthew, according to, you know, this thing that I just read, you know, men are much more complex than that.
Yeah, sorry. You know? I forgot. Men just don't want to get off.
Right, exactly. Oh, gosh. Okay. Happy Easter, almost.
You too.
Happy Ham Sunday.
Ugh. I'll be in the corner eating a leg.
It's really funny to me. Like, I don't know. Just how put out you are about the food for Easter. I want you to send me a picture of your plate. Please, just... You don't have to do it in the middle of lunch. Just take the picture, send it later. I want to see it.
Okay. Alright.
I'll do the same if I remember, which I probably will.
Ham, eggs, and jelly beans. Yum.
Gross. Maybe you don't like Easter lunch because you spent all morning eating jelly beans. Was there a point